service. Father, I thank you again this hour that we came to give you glory. We thank you, Father, that as a church we were able to give out the gifts and the things back to school. Father, all through the school year, let them know and use and draw on the things that they receive from a church family that is being loved by the love of God. I pray tonight that you open up your word, that every ear and every heart and every believer and everyone would receive as you have for us this hour. We give you our praise and our thanks in Jesus' name. I'm going to set it up real quick for you tonight. I'm going to cover two verses of Scripture, and you can find them in your Bible, and these are foundational for every person in the room. Tonight it's John 3:16 and John 3:17, and I want to read to you what the Word of God says. You need to know these verses. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The second part of that is John 3:17. I would hope that all the Sunday school teachers would give it to you at the same time they give you John 3:16. For John 3:17 says, "For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved." So I want you to understand that God does not want you to go back to school condemned. He doesn't want you to go back to school bound. He doesn't want you to go back to school lost. He wants you to go back to school this year found. There's many things to get lost in school. So I'm going to set up a video. We have two videos that are going to help me this evening. I want you to pay attention to the first video because it's going to speak to you according to the word of John 3:16 and John 3:17. Tonight, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get it. I want you to be able to take it and share it and live it. These are the three things. I want you to, number one, get it. Then I want you to live it. And then I want you to share it. I want to say it again. I want you to get it. I want you to be able to live it. And then I want you to be able to share it. Let's watch the first video.
Who am I? What is the purpose of my life on this planet?
Many go through life unfulfilled, unfocused, searching. A blank canvas waiting for a picture of purpose to be painted on us. What does it all mean? It was once said that there is a God-shaped blank in all of us. We look for many things to fill this. Friends, fashion, false faith, fornication, and the facade of drug-induced fantasies, but follow me. Follow me to the edge of an abyss where deep down inside we all know something's missing. See, from the moment God spoke time into existence and shaped us with his own hands in his own image, his plan was for man and him to be one. Creator and creation communing together in beautiful harmony. Sounds perfect, right? So what happened? Sin.
We're sinners by nature.
Sin opened this void. Sin drove us away from our friends. Sin separated us from him. And for many centuries since, we as human beings have attempted to bridge this ever-widening gap with philosophies and religion, wealth and so-called moral decisions. But the divisions became more instilled, that God-shaped hole in our hearts still unfilled, and mankind seemed doomed. Until, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, but this wasn't no ordinary baby. See, he grew into a boy, then a man, then a preacher, leading a multitude of people with radical and really off-the-wall teachings like, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, turn the other cheek.
He's the greatest teacher that ever was.
But this was no ordinary preacher. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So for our sins, he had to pay the price.
They put nails in his hands.
Betrayed and denied, they hung him high and stretched him wide on a cross for you and I. And over 2,000 years ago,
spiked through his side,
Son of God, our Lamb slain before the world began, died.
One of the most agonizing physical deaths that a person can suffer.
They buried him in the tomb of a friend. For 3 days, his mother cried. And for 3 days, his disciples ran. But thanks be to the Most High, that's not how the story ends, because 3 glorious days later, Jesus rose from the dead again. Oh, but this just wasn't any ordinary sacrifice, because he became the way, the truth, and the life. And we now have a way through the Father through him. Through the cross, we're now able to get across that great divide caused by sin, separating us from him. And he's calling us, but we've got to come. See, the choice is still ours, but he has provided all the love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And if we only believe that Jesus Christ paid this price.
Jesus said, ye shall know the truth.
No more separation. No more fear of death. No more holes in our heart. But we can now have eternal life.
You see, God gave man a choice.
You either accept it or reject it.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The message this year for you going back to school is you need to get it. There has to be something that happens in your life when all of a sudden it makes sense. Last year might have been a blur. Last year might have been a goof-off year. But this year, if you'll get what Jesus did, it can change the course of what you do in school. And what you do in school can influence and infect and touch what you do for the rest of your life. You are at a prime age right now where the Bible says it's the young that need to make a good, right decision now. Make it now. Make the choice now. You got to get the message of get it. Think about in the classroom when the teacher's just teaching over and over and over, writing things all over the board, and he's just going through the book, or she's going through the book, and you're just sitting there with that puzzle in your head saying, I'm not getting it. I'm not understanding it. It's a frustrating place to live. It's a frustrating place to be. And then when you got to go back into the classroom day after day, it makes you feel like, what am I doing here? I'm not ever going to get it. And all of a sudden, the spirit of a failure sits in on your heart, and you begin to make a bad grade and you make a bad decision, and our decision process is going on in the school years more than any other time of our life. What you do from grade to grade to grade to grade, and when you graduate and you go to college, is going to impact what your family becomes. These decisions are important. So the number one thing tonight is I want this to be a night that you say, I get it. Jesus gave it, but do I get it? Jesus gave his life, but do I get it? And see, if you get it, then that means you're going to take hold of it. Nothing up here tonight on the stage automatically floated into your book bags, automatically floated into your hands. When we were giving out the blessings from the church, in order to get it, you had to touch it. In order to get it, you had to see it. In order to get it, you had to know what it was that you were getting. You wouldn't have picked something that you didn't know. If you came to the folders and they were some strange object and you said, I don't even know what I could ever do with that, you would bypass it and say, I don't need it. If you went over to the calculators and looked at them and said, I don't even know what a calculator does. I don't need garbage in my house. But we'd go to church as young people. We go to Sunday school classes as young people. We get in and sit in the church and we think that it's for old people and it's for pastors to get up and just share something. But it's for you. And the only thing that's separating you from rejoicing and joining in with all the congregation is the one thing that you got to do. You got to get it. You got to get it in your heart that Jesus died for you. You got to get it in your spirit that Jesus loves you. The things that you can't get from school are love. You can't get it there. You got to get it from Jesus. The things that you can't get in school are love, and you can't get forgiveness in school. I don't care how many times you tell the teacher you didn't do it. 9 times out of 10, you're still getting punished. But Jesus says, I can give you love. I can give you forgiveness. I can give you a future. You go to school and they tell you you can be anything you want to be, but that's not altogether true, because without Jesus Christ in your life, your dreams are going to be broken. Your dreams are going to be shattered. But when God has you in the school and all of a sudden a subject about something comes up and you get an interest. It's the God in heaven who gave you a heart that connected to some level of interest, whether it be a teacher someday, whether it be a doctor one day, whether it be a lawyer someday, or if God would choose you to be a pastor and a teacher someday. It starts at the level of you getting a hold of Jesus first. There's some things that you can't get in school. Some of the items that we passed out to you tonight would never, ever be passed out to you in school. There's a little pamphlet that is a scripture pack. And if you open it up, it'll say a message to you by God's word. There's a little index card that tells you some things on there that if you're scared, if you're worried, it gives a scripture reference and you can get a hold of God's word that way. My heart is this. If you want a change, a radical change in your lives, the first thing is you got to get it. You got to get Jesus. What is it? It's salvation. What is it? It's the Son of God. What is it? It's real. What is it? It's power. What is it? It's life-sustaining. What is it? It's the blood that was shed on Calvary for you. I want you to get it tonight. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave that you might get. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And then it said, whosoever, that's for you. Put your name there. Every one of you that walked on this stage tonight and got anything, put your name right in the Bible and say, I'm a whosoever. Then God did it for me. God did it for me. Whosoever believeth. The word believeth. See, I want to teach you tonight about get it, live it, and share it. Okay, so you've moved on and you've said, Pastor, I have got it. I came to the altar. I got Jesus. He's in my heart. Well, the next step after you get it is you have to begin to live it. And when you start to live it, it happens when you believe in him. See, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave so that you can get. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, if you chose to be a whosoever and you said, Pastor, I got it. I got salvation. I got saved. For whosoever believeth. Now we're talking about living. Now we're talking about living. Oh, I got it. I got salvation. I'm coming to church now. I'm reading my Bible a little bit. I'm doing these things. But you are not living the life that Jesus wants you to live until the moment that you choose to believe in him. And when you believe in him, you believe in his ways. So you can't deny it. You can't hide in the corner of the classroom and say, well, I got it, but I just don't believe it. I got saved because somebody said if I don't get saved, I'm going to go to hell. I got saved because somebody said that my life would straighten out. I got it. If you get Jesus, then you have to go on and live it by believing him. And if you believe the Bible to be true, and this is a thing in school, by the way, you're being confronted every day with things that are not true in your school anymore. There's history books that have been rewritten today that are not telling you the Christian heritage of the nation you live in. There's indoctrinations happening in the classroom that unless you have the belief in Jesus Christ, you will be brainwashed and washed away by the society rules of life. Why am I preaching so hard tonight? Because I'm concerned when an entire generation no longer remembers the name Billy Graham because he was the one for four generations that was on the front lines of preaching the gospel of Jesus. Is he the only one? No. But you see how far away we've come. And God is raising up new evangelists and other speakers and other parents and other churches. And there's many, many, many around. But we're losing sight of Jesus. And you cannot go back to school with no sight of Jesus or you're going to get blindsided and trapped and ran over. And you're going to be bound in all the things that the world wants to bind you up into. Get it. Live it. Guess what happens when you begin to live it? when you begin to live it, it overflows off of you and touches someone else. All of you school age know what I'm about to say is true. There are cliques and groups in every school. As soon as you get labeled up against one of those groups, what you're doing is you're sharing the group's resources, attitudes, beliefs, and so on. So if you want to be known as a jock, you hang out with all of the sport athletes of the school, and you will be known as a jock. If you want to be known as one of the members of the debate team, then you run with the debate team. If you want to be somebody that is what in my day was called a prep, which means that you had the, just name brand and all kinds of clothes from top to bottom and fads and all of that. And then in my day, there was something called hoods that usually wore the ripped up jeans and the jean jackets. And if you found them around high school, I'll just confess to you that most of them had a rolled up pack of cigarettes in their arm and in their sleeve. And you can be associated with those kinds of people. What they were saying is, we're kind of against the rules, and you got them in every school. I hope you're not one of them. But there's something else that you can find in school if you'll look. There are other Christians in your school, but you got to find them. There's other believers in your school, but you got to hang out with them. There's other people that love God, but you got to talk to them and know them and begin to not be a labeled group, but be an individual who says, but I still believe the word of Jesus Christ that my mom and dad taught me, that my grandparents believed in, that the church that I grew up in taught me how to trust in Jesus, and I have made a decision for my life to be a believer, which is a child of God. Get it? After you've got it, you have to live it. You'll never live it unless you believe it. Once you begin to believe it, you'll share it. Those three things, if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to remind you all school, all throughout the school year, I promise you, by the end of the school year, you will be in a different place spiritually, mentally, and possibly even physically. You may take care of your body better. You may care, because you know what happens when you don't care? People hurt themselves on purpose. Neglect. Let the body just fall apart. In your schools today, there's, sad but true, there's people that are on purpose in their bedrooms at nighttime or slipping in the bathroom somewhere, and they're cutting their body because of the pain in their heart and they don't know what else to do. That's bondage. There's school-age kids your age hooked on drugs, pornography, all kinds of addictions, all kinds of bondage. I'm telling you, if you will get Jesus, if you will believe Jesus, if you will share Jesus, you'll break free of every single thing. And let me tell you, let me say something to you. Here's a goal. Look around at the adults in your life. And adults, it's okay for them to do this. Say, with Jesus, I want to live a better life than any of the adults I see. You should want to go farther in God than you've seen your parents go. You should want to go deeper in love with the things of Jesus than you've even seen your friends go. You should have a desire that says, God, there's more. God, there's more. God, there's more. Because you know what's going to happen? Your generation is going to grow up, and the generation below you is going to go through another set of problems that could be worse than yours, and they're going to need you to preach the gospel to them to live for Jesus in their day. One thing, if you learn anything this year in school, learn this. Learn not to be selfish. The word of God is not selfish. You get him in your heart, He doesn't just stay in your heart. You begin to believe him, and it changes the way you think. It changes the way that you care about people. It changes the way that you talk. If there's one thing that as a pastor I want you to do this year in school is get rid of the selfishness. Stop acting as though everything in life belongs to you and is something that needs to be given, handed to you. Jesus lived for 33 years on this earth, and then he went to Calvary's cross. It wasn't an overnight sensation with Jesus. It took his life on Calvary for you and me. Moms and dads have worked and broken the sweat of their brow and had to work long hours to have the homes you live in and the cars you drive. So when you turn 16, stop acting as though you want a convertible to drive and an apartment furnished with the greatest and grandest of furnishes and the best jobs paying over $20 and $30 an hour. Flip a hamburger for minimum wage to start out with if you got to, but don't be like the sluggard in the Word of God that can't work for his food and wants to live off of others. You need to set the stage for a new generation that says, I will take what God gives me and live according to the Word of God and overcome every obstacle. It's time for the young people to not make any more excuses about the house of God. It's not a gymnasium. It's not a social club. Shut off the Facebook on the cell phone and begin to hear this word of God, for it is the only power that will change anything in your life. Oh, I feel God. See, who's bold enough to tell you the truth? Only the Word of God is. Sin is going to kill you. Sin is going to bind you up. But if you get Jesus, you can be free. If you believe Jesus, you can live a new life. And when you live a new life, you're going to touch someone else. Give him praise. We need to. I'm going to make a confession to you. When I was 16 years old, I thought I understood life. And I came from some brokenness in my family. And I thought that I was just going to be like everybody else and run the streets and do what I wanted. But one thing that was in my heart when I was 16 years old, something deep inside of me wanted to be corrected. I wanted some discipline. I wasn't going to ask for it. I mean, come on, are you going to go up to your parents and say, I need a good whooping? No. It don't work that way. You don't wake up one day and say, you know, yesterday was a bad day. I ought to be grounded. But on the inside, if you've got any real guts about your heart, you will not want to live a rebellious, stinking, lowly, gutter lifestyle, because you're crying out on the inside saying, won't somebody stop me from getting hooked on drugs? Won't somebody stop me from giving my body to anybody that wants it? Won't somebody stop me from picking up cigarettes that are killing people by the thousands? And even in the secondhand smoke, it's killing people. It could kill your baby. It could kill your brother. It could kill your sister. Won't somebody stop me when I'm looking on this pornographic site at 12 and 13 years old and blowing out of proportion what a woman is supposed to be and do and what a man is supposed to do and be to another woman? You got to understand that that's corruption and garbage that will get your spirit bound in more knots than you can ever imagine. And all of a sudden, watching these scary horror movies that put fear in the belly of your heart, and you go to bed and think you're seeing ghosts and demons and devils. Well, you probably are, because you opened up a door. Where is somebody going to tell you the truth? I'm telling you the truth tonight. Do you know you could walk out of this room tonight and be killed? I know some high school students that never got to graduate, not because they dropped out, because they're dead. I know some athletes that thought they had their bodies in tip-top shape, get ready to play a basketball game and collapse on the basketball court floor and die. Don't think you can build your muscles up and make everything all right. Don't think that you can wait until you're 50 and 60 to decide if Jesus is for you or not. You might not live that long. Pastor, you're really starting to scare me tonight. No, I don't want to scare you. I want to give you the truth. You're about to go to school, and you're going to be bombarded with lie after lie after lie, and the pressure is going to be on you. And if our church ever needs to pray, I believe in this school year, there is a major, major conflict for the students that are going to school. The enemy has waged a war, and he is going into the school hallways, and he's going to bring more guns, and he's going to bring more weapons, and you don't know when it might happen, but if you'll get Jesus, you'll be protected. Even if your life is taken, you're protected, because he kalamas somebody yada, yelamas somebody yada. This life is but just a moment, and then eternity is for you. Without Christ, death does not promise you eternal life, but only Jesus. Get it. I want you to hear it tonight. I want you to be on the front benches when the pastor's preaching tonight, because he's talking to you. The Holy Spirit is firm tonight. He's saying this is the night to get it. And then believe it. Believe. Stop blaming God, saying he's not doing it. You haven't believed him. He does get you out of your problems. I could spend the night telling you many problems I've been through. And it's only God that got me up. Your best friend is not always going to be your best friend. You need Jesus. Believe it. And then let me tell you your ministry call. Tonight God is calling every school student aged person to ministry. Don't hide Jesus in a corner. Let him out. Am I telling you to stand up in the middle of the classroom and tell your teacher, if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to hell? No. But when your friends ask you to do things that are against God's word, be bold enough to say, I am a believer of Jesus and I'm not doing that. That's how you share. Let him be in your life. If you don't share him, you will lose him. Because Jesus is a ministering Jesus. I have one more video and I'm done. I'm going to ask you to watch this one very closely, and then I'm going to come back for just a couple of minutes. It's decision time. Go ahead and show the video.
What must I do to have eternal life? The greatest problem in the world today is sin. What causes people to hate and lust and have greed? It's sin. It's a disease that we all have. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've missed the mark. You've broken the law on your way to spiritual death and eternal death and to judgment. But Jesus said, I can do something about that. I can change your life. I can make you a new person. Jesus demanded that we make a choice. He says there are two roads of life, the broad road and the narrow road, and you must choose. There are two destinies, heaven and hell. Which road are you on? Which master are you serving? I don't have to be judged. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to be lost. My soul has been redeemed. I'm going to heaven. But I've got to first repent of my sin and receive Christ as my Lord and my Savior.
You have to repent of your sins That means to be willing to change your way of living. You may have no power to do it, but if you surrender to Christ, He'll give you the power. How many of you here tonight are broken, fed up, but you don't know what to do? You give your life to Christ tonight and you will have supernatural help in breaking those chains that bind you. God's not waiting to judge you. God's not waiting to condemn you. He's waiting to receive you with mercy, with love, with open arms, and forgive all your sins. You know, there only comes a few times in our lives when Jesus of Nazareth passes by and we have an opportunity like we have tonight to receive Him. You may never have a tomorrow as far as God is concerned. There are people here tonight that may never be alive tomorrow. You may never hear the gospel again like this, or your heart may not be this tender toward God. Come while you can, and don't put it off. God is waiting to welcome you with open arms, to receive you as you come to Him in repentance and faith. Simple, and yet could be life-changing tonight, and all of heaven will rejoice.
Go ahead and put on some altar music for me. Hardest thing in school to do is make the decision that you want to learn. Some of the things that we say are hard are just the fact that you don't want to engage. You're not the only one. There were things in my days of school that I should have paid more attention to. I can stand and testify to you tonight that if I would have done what I should have done in school, the income and the job level where I'm at work today would be higher. You can go higher. I want you to bow your heads. Be bold about it. I don't care who's sitting beside you. Just be bold about it and say, you know what? I'm going to do this tonight. This is not going to be a usual altar service or an altar call, because I'm going to go the full measure. I don't want you to come just to say, I want to get it. I don't want you to come just when you say, I want to believe it. I only want you to come tonight if you say, Pastor, I really want to get it tonight. I want to believe it, and I want to share it. The complete thing, the whole package. See, what we've done is we've taken just a small piece of the gift that Jesus did for us, and we've tried to make the small piece fix everything in our lives. We want the piece of forgiveness, because unforgiveness hurts. We want the piece of love, because we all need to be loved. It's the most primary, basic need of every individual. It's the loved person that can face the most difficult situations of life. Love, the Bible says, covers a multitude of sin. Means you can be lost in sin, but if somebody keeps loving you, you can see your way out. But if everybody gives up on you while you're sinning, and you're not seeing the love of God, you lose sight of life. And you say, what's the point of living? I want you to have God's love tonight. He gave it. I want everyone to receive forgiveness, because you need it. But God is saying, get the whole thing. The reason why you keep slipping back into your problems is because you're trying to pick and choose how much Jesus you want. See, when He was on the cross, His whole body was crucified. From the top of His head to the bottoms of His feet. From one arm stretched to the other, He gave His all. We blame God on a regular basis, but we've never given our all. And we just pick Him apart and say, I want a little bit of Jesus in my pocket. I'll wear a little bit of Jesus on my neck with a cross. I might handle a bookmark and a book, but how about giving him your whole heart? There was one statement, and by the way, the man that was preaching on the screen, that's Billy Graham. Now you've seen him, you've heard him. But he said something that stuck to me. He said, the Jesus of Nazareth only comes by so many times in your life, passes by. You yourself cannot guarantee the days of your living. Something can happen tomorrow that would separate you from ever being able to come back to this church. You may never, ever see me or hear me again. But I know this much about God. He's a gentleman. He'll plead with you. He'll speak to you. He'll beckon to you. But he will never pick up a whip and chase you down, snapping, saying, you need to do this. Because God gives himself in love. What I want to ask, young, old, school age, or not school age, make your bold step back to school standing in the altar. If you want to help your kids, make a bold step back to their school by being in the altar praying for them. If you want to help your church win the young children, the young adults, the youth of this community, stand in this altar in a bold statement and say, I want the full thing of Jesus shining in my life, touching and blessing and ministering. And we're going to pray together. I'm not even going to count. I'm not even going to count. I'm just going to say, if that's you, come. That's it. That's it. Just come. Just start coming. Turn the music up just a little bit. Just start coming. It's your choice. It's your choice. Is it going to be easy? No. Could someone make fun of you at school? Oh, absolutely. But there's nothing more greater than the peace of God in your heart. Forgiveness and love sitting on the inside. God's stirring a great thing in young people. Come on. Are you ready for your grandchildren to come home? Are you ready for your sons and daughters to get back? Are you ready to see revival in your church by the young people? Are you ready to see a young person filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you ready to believe that God is doing something this year, going back to school, back to the basics, come back to salvation, get it, believe it, share it, get it, believe it, share it? Come on, there's still others that the Holy Spirit's working on. Come stand. Stand in for somebody. Babies growing up in this sinful world. There's only one thing going to set people free. You know what it is. It's the blood. I want you to reach over to somebody that's in the altar with you tonight. I want you to make a spiritual connection. Just like Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Tonight, that connection of knowing you're part of God's family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up for him. If Christ went to a cross for you, can you not stand up for him? Stand up for him. who you're standing with, I want you to pray specifically for the young, your families, your grandchildren, your sons, your daughters. But this is a night that God is saying, I want them back. I want them back. Pray with somebody. Lord, I begin to release the anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray. I pray, Lord, that it not be deaf ears tonight, but something happen. The demons and the devils be broken. The bondage and the torture and the pain be separated. Lord, I pray that Jesus be the one to touch the heart, full of love and mercy and grace, forgiveness. God, but don't let us stop tonight saying, I got it. Let us say, I believe you, Jesus. I believe your word. I believe the Bible. I believe the Holy Ghost. I believe what you say. Lord, let them know that they got to believe it. And Father, it'll automatically begin to be shared. They'll talk to their mom about it. They'll talk to their dad about it. They'll share it with their brothers and sisters. They'll begin to share it with their friends. Something changed. I don't know why I don't want to do those things anymore, but something got a hold of my heart. I don't want to keep sinning. I don't want to keep hurting. I don't want to keep being in fear. I don't want to keep bound. Hallelujah. My Holy Spirit is here to set you free. I have begun to speak. I have begun to move. I have begun to call. But I want you to get me tonight and nothing else. I want you to believe me tonight and nobody else. I want you to share me and nothing else. I'm the Lord. I'm the one that you need to know. I'm the one that will walk with you. I will be in the school hallways. I will be in your classroom. I will be in your bedroom with you. I will be with you when your friends turn against you. I will be with you when your parents are not for you. I will be with you when you don't feel like anybody's around you. I am the Lord that has been preached to you. I am the God that has been looking for you. I am the Savior of the world, and through my blood and through my stripes, I have forgiven you. My love is a genuine love. My love is a real love. This is what you've been looking for. The other things will not fulfill you. They will not sustain you, but stability is in me. I'm the Lord. I have held every generation together. I have been with my children of Israel. I have been with my church body. I am with my children today. I am with you this hour. I'm not going anywhere. I'm only calling you to be with me. Walk with me. Know me. Be with me. Let me be your God. Thank you, Jesus. It's services like this that forever change your life so that you'll never leave the house of God. Decisions for Jesus will keep you in his ministry. Non-decisions will allow you to be pulled by some philosophy, some wisdom of some other person, and some bondage of some level to try to ruin your life. But God says, I forgive you. I love you. Come and be in my family. Start here before you go to school. Make a decision to start right now. You're in this thing for fullness and for the long haul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Adults, rededicate your heart tonight. We've got a rough generation ahead of us. They've got to hear Jesus. Dedicate your heart back to him. Say that you get it. Say that you believe him. Say that you'll share him again. Do you know what's killing the church? People are no longer sharing Jesus. We're no longer talking to our neighbor across the fence. we've allowed the enemy to push our doors shut and say, unless somebody comes looking for me, I'm not sharing Jesus. But Jesus sent them out two by two and said, tell people this message. If they refuse you there, that's fine. But you gave them the message and you went out and told them, come home. Start sharing Jesus again. Make a new commitment. We need new people in this church. Not because we're tired of each other, but because we need to see God working in lives that are being changed. And they need us. They need the strength of strong Christians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say one more prayer tonight over the young that are going back to school. This is a prayer of blessing. I want you to stop what you're doing and hear the prayer of blessing. You need to know that God blesses you. Every good gift comes from God the Father. You might be going through a problem. You might have a bad home life. You might have all kinds of situations, but God wants to bless you. And I want to pray a prayer of blessing. You need to hear the Lord bless you to know that your life is not one big curse. God, I begin to release your blessing through the name of Jesus and through your blood, that whatever label our young generation has carried, whether they've been a rebel, whether they've been a liar, whether they've been a cheater, whatever that label might be, whether they've been a gossiper, whether they've been into wrong things, God, I speak blessing back on their life. The blood washes and cleanses and purifies. Their thoughts right now are being purified. Their heart right now is being washed. And God, they're a blessed child of God. They are a blessing to the church. They are a blessing to the family of God. And what's going to happen if they'll take this blessing and walk with it, they will be a different student in the schoolhouse. They will not be into trouble. They will not be into detention. They will not be into drugs. They will not be into the alcohol. They will not give in to the peer pressures. But God, they will walk in the blessing. They will walk in the blessing of the Lord. They will hear and know that they're the child of God. They will know that you are with them. God, I speak blessing over them. I speak blessing over them going to college. I speak blessing over them, Lord, that you could even bring friends that would be an encouragement to their walk of faith. Father, begin to protect them in the hallways. If there be a shooter, come to their school. Father, by the Holy Ghost, I pray in Jesus' name that they be protected by the angels of the Lord around Psalms 91. Hallelujah. Father, if there be any demonic influence in the school, Father, if there be any students that are into witchcraft, if there be any students that are into the devil things, Lord, that spirit cannot get on our children, Father, for the blood of Jesus is over them. It's over the doorpost of their heart. It's over the doorpost of their bedrooms. And Father, I pray a purging process right now. If they've got garbage in their room, if they've got books that are taking them in the wrong direction, if they've got pictures that are putting wrong images in their mind, Father, begin to burn it out of their heart. Let them throw it away. Let the drugs be given up. Let them flush them down the toilet. Let the pills be put in the garbage. Let all these things in the name. I'm asking you right now, if there's somebody that is bound in some kind of addiction, you're going to have to be very bold to do this. But if you want God to deliver you from cigarettes, if you want God to deliver you from drugs, if you want God to deliver you from a wrong sexual lifestyle, if you want God to deliver you from fear, if you want God to deliver you from anger and wrath and all the things that's in your mind. You might have had the thoughts that you wanted to kill somebody. If you need to be set free tonight, I want you to be as bold as you have to be and stand right in the middle of the altar right here, and God's anointing is going to set you free, and you can go home different and not bound, no matter how many demons, no matter how many devils have been trying to bind you up. I'm telling you, you're going to have to be bold. But God is here to deliver tonight. Stand in this place. The Holy Spirit doesn't move like that unless he knows who he's talking to. I'm telling you, there will never be another night repeated like this. If you've got bondage, let him break it. Adults, if there's bondage, let him break it. God's speaking to somebody. His anointing is ready to set the captive free. Father, I've obeyed you. I've obeyed you, Lord. Who is it? Could be more than one. It won't break on its own. Right now you're confronted with the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't fool around. He didn't let people pretend that nothing was wrong. He called it out and said, get rid of that thing. There was a man in the graveyard, strapped to tombs, naked as could be, but nothing could be done for him until Jesus. Jesus walked up to the man, and he addressed the spirit behind that man and said, who are you? They said, we're legion, for we're many. Jesus said, I ain't worried about that at all. There was not an ounce of fear in Jesus, but there was a lot of fear in those demons, because they said, don't torture us before our time. Let us go over here into these pigs. Jesus said, all right, that's fine with me. And as soon as they touched the vessels of the pigs, every one of those pigs went to a river and drowned. It's not time to stay bound. It's time to be free.